While he's doing that, I just want to plug next weekend. Wendy talked about this fundraiser for Mega Sports Camp. What an amazing opportunity that we have to for children to come and learn some sports, but more importantly, learn about Jesus. And so the fundraiser goes to help pay for that. And it's not, we don't believe in just like hamburgers and hot dogs, even though those are yummy and they've fueled my body for many years. We're talking pulled pork sandwiches. It's going to be worth your time to come and invest in the youth of our community and to help be the light of Jesus to kids that probably would not, many of them would never get an opportunity like this. So I want to encourage you, don't miss it. It's going to be fun. We're going to have lots of good food after the service. We'll have a good service and just have a great time. All right. It is Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. What do we say about that? Well, the worship was off the hook. Anybody enjoy that? If they enjoyed it, man, you can go on the road, but don't. So, huh? But don't. Okay, I want to start off this morning with a question, kind of a rhetorical question, but I might take a couple answers. If you could describe Jesus in one sentence, what would you say? You only had one sentence. What would you say? Somebody want to take a stab at it? One sentence. Say that again. Compassionate, grateful, and loving. Back there, I heard one. Grace. That's one word. Boom. She even narrowed it down. Anybody else? Light in the dark. Somebody else? Savior, okay. Conqueror. We're getting this down. You're not even giving me a sentence.
The way, the truth, and the life.
All great, right? All great descriptions of Jesus. And some people in our world would call him a good teacher, right? We've heard that. Others might say that he was a miracle worker. Some may think that he is just a religious figure. Some would say, you know, he was a great prophet, or even less than that, a good prophet, right? Significant descriptions, would you agree? But then when we hear John the Baptist, you know, Jesus comes to him to be baptized. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, and he doesn't say, look, a wise man. Right? He didn't say that. Or he didn't say, look, a great prophet. Or look, a miracle. He didn't say any of those things. What does he say? He says, look, the Lamb of God who comes to take the sin of the world away. Wow. Think about that for a second. At first glance, that probably doesn't mean much to us today. But to the crowd that was there when it was said, meant a lot. It was life-changing. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Today we're celebrating Easter. We're not celebrating Easter bunnies. We're not celebrating eggs that bunnies lay. That has to be painful. We're not celebrating that, right? So what does it matter? What does Easter matter? Why did Jesus choose to come in this way? And what is the deeper meaning of the sacrifice for us today? And to understand that, to understand the depth of what happened on the cross, we got to look back at the Old Testament. You're like, oh, the Old Testament? It's all gloom and doom. Actually, it's not, right? But we got to look at the cross, and we have to answer a crucial question. When John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God. Why? The question is, why a lamb? Why a lamb? And again, to understand what John the Baptist and why he called him the Lamb of God, we got to go back to the Old Testament. Because you see, a week ago we did our Seder, our Passover Seder? And Lynn and Holly Lapka just did a phenomenal job of of pointing Jesus out in the Passover and why it was so significant. But just for us, and just to keep it kind of simplistic, the lamb for generations, the people of Israel had to, every time they sinned, they had to bring a spotless, unblemished lamb to be sacrificed for their sins, right? And that was a sacrificial system set up by God. And whenever, again, whatever they sinned, they were required to do this. Now, the lamb was sacrificed as a substitute, right? It was a substitute. Its blood symbolically covered their sins. Probably more accurately, it pushed their sins ahead. Okay? You following me? But here's the thing. Those sacrifices were only temporary, right? They dealt with the symptom, but not the root of sin. See, it's like putting a bandage on a deep wound. It will slow the bleeding and maybe even stop the bleeding, but it won't bring full healing, right? It's just a symptom. It's covering a symptom. So let me explain it this way. Imagine you're at a friend's house, and this is probably more realistic for me than for many of you because I'm like a bull in a china closet. But imagine you're at a friend's house, and you accidentally bumped into a priceless family heirloom, and it falls off the table in a vase. Okay, let's just say a vase. It's priceless, and you knock it over, bazillion pieces, and you're like, I am so sorry. Right? And you're sincere about your apology, right? And that's fine, but it doesn't solve the problem, right? It doesn't restore what was broken. Someone still has to pay to replace it or absorb the loss, right? And you're deeply apologetic. You're deeply, sincerely sorry, but it doesn't fix it. Right? Someone still has to pay that price. It's the same. Sin works the same way, if you're following me, right? It damages our relationship with God. It separates us from God. And while we can feel remorse and while we can feel something deep inside of us, something more is still needed to make things right with God. Right? A price must be paid. And that's where Jesus comes in. And while Jesus, you know, the whole aspect of that, I lost my spot. When John declares, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that's found in John chapter 1, verse 29. He's not just giving Jesus this poetic nickname, right? It serves a purpose. He's announcing that Jesus is the final and perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the Lamb who doesn't just cover sin, but removes it. And how does he do that? Well, that's where the cross comes in. It takes us to the cross, where the sacrifice was made. So Good Friday, we can go back to Good Friday. What was so significant about Good Friday? Anybody know? Speak loud. What was Good Friday? Why do we celebrate Good Friday? That's the day that Jesus died on the cross, right? So we go back to Good Friday. Jesus, perfect, innocent, and full of compassion, is arrested on false charges, beaten beyond recognition, mocked by the crowds, and sentenced to die on the death of a criminal on a Roman cross. But he was innocent, right? He was innocent. It seems tragic. It seems unfair and unjust, and it is. So now you're asking the question, and I can just hear it. You're asking the question, well, then, if that's the case, if he was so good and so loving and so powerful, why did he die like that? Why did he have to die on the cross? And that's a great question. And here is the answer. It's simple. And I love simple. I don't know about you guys. I don't like complex things. I don't like hard to understand things. The answer is simple, but very powerful. And that's it's simple. Can I say it again? It's simple. It's because that was the plan all along. when Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve sinned in the garden, sin entered the world, right? You guys all with me? And that was God's plan to redeem, right? Was to redeem his children, his people, his creation through Jesus. It was a plan all along. Jesus didn't just stumble into death, right? He didn't just get tricked. He walked into it purposely. He stepped into it on purpose, willingly and lovingly. Let's look at it this way. Anybody owe like millions of dollars in debt? Anybody? Might feel like that, though. Okay? Let's imagine that you're being crushed by millions of dollars of debt, right? And you can't, there's nothing that you could do to pay for it. It's just you're in debt. And we're not, again, we're not talking about a debt that you could work off in 5 years. I got a 5-year plan and I'm gonna be debt free by millions of dollars. You probably could work every day of your life and still not pay it off. That's the kind of debt we're talking about, right? You with me? If you're with me, say uh-huh. Okay? So this life, every day, the weight of this debt follows you. You're avoiding phone calls. You're avoiding your mailbox. You're avoiding emails. You dread it, right? Because you know that it's hanging over you, and you fear, you live in fear that one day it will come when it will catch up to you and you have nowhere to go, right? But then one day, someone walks into the bank, writes a check with your name on it, and hands it over and says, I got this. Paid in full. Wouldn't that be wonderful? My name is David Ray Ginther. Just Independence Bank. Yeah, I'm just. It'd be wonderful. But here's the thing. That's exactly what Jesus did on the cross, right? He stepped into our debt, the debt of sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, right? The wages, what we earned from our sinful life, what we've earned, that's our pay, right? It's a debt. And he steps onto the cross and pays our debt in full. And with his final breath, he says, it is finished. He doesn't say, I'm finished, or you're finished. It is finished. Paid in full. Paid in full. The debt is paid. The sacrifice is made. But here's the cool thing about it. We would not be here today celebrating what we're celebrating if that's where it ended. Right? He died on a cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb. That's not where it's at. Sealed tomb, dead Savior. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. Here's the cool thing about it is every other world religion out there, their saviors, their prophets, their Buddhas, their Krishnas, all these, they're still in the grave. Jesus is the only one that raised from the dead, right? And we're here to sell. The empty tomb is the proof of hope, of hope. 3 days after the cross, everything changed. The stone was rolled away, the grave was empty, and the world was never the same since. The resurrection of Jesus isn't just some happy twist to an end of a tragic story. It's the proof that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, the conqueror of sin and death. And without the resurrection, the cross is just a tragic death. But the resurrection, that became the doorway to eternal life, right? And not like the fountain of youth where you drink it and you stay eternal life, right? Conquering death. Now imagine, and forgive me if this is close to home, but imagine you go to a funeral and you are there to celebrate the life, and it's with somebody that you deeply love, and you you're crying and mourning, and you're saying your goodbyes, and then they bury the loved one, and 3 days later, you're walking down the street on Main Street to our wonderful town, and you look ahead, and you see that person walking towards you. At first, you're thinking, am I hallucinating? Am I dreaming? Or maybe somebody's playing a cruel joke and you didn't know that they had an identical twin and they're coming to mess with you. You don't know, right? And you're like, no, this can't be, until that person comes up to you, says your name, and then gives you a hug. I don't know about that. That just gave me goosebumps, right? Give me goosebumps. And then you realize it's real, right? Don't you think that would change everything? I think it would change everything. I think it would change everything. And suddenly your grief is swallowed up with joy and your doubts are drowned by hope. That's exactly what happened with Jesus, right? His resurrection isn't symbolic. It's literal. It's physical. And it's historical. He walked out of the tomb, and because he did, our sins are truly forgiven. Death no longer has the final word, and we have a hope that stretches beyond the grave. I love how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. He puts it this way. He says, and if Christ had not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. Boom, shakalaka, there it is. But Christ is raised. Christ is alive. We celebrate, we sing it. We're singing it. We're celebrating it, right? And because of that, your faith is useful. Your faith is not useless. It is unshakable. Our future is not uncertain. It is secure. And our story doesn't end in death. It ends in resurrection. So what does that mean for you and I? Maybe you came here today because it's Easter, and that's what we do, right? I go to church on Christmas and Easter. In our world, we call you Creasters. Creasters. Maybe somebody invited you, and you showed up, and that's awesome. Maybe you're not even sure why you're here. You were walking down the street, and you smelled sausage. And you're like, ooh, what's going on in there? Well, come on in, have free breakfast. How many had breakfast this morning here? Wasn't it wonderful? I don't know yet, I haven't eaten. Just give them a round of applause, the cooks and the people that put it on. I didn't get to eat any yet, but they saved me a plate, so. Maybe you don't know why you're here, but can I tell you something with absolute certainty? You're not here by accident. And this message is for you, specifically for you. Now imagine, I love imagination. Do you guys like imagination? I am. Imagine you're out in the ocean without a boat, right? And you're out there bobbing in the ocean and the waves are crashing. There's no land in sight. You're exhausted, barely keeping your head above water, and every time you try to swim for the shore that you can't see, you just kind of hope it's that way, the current drags you out even further, and you don't know how you're going to make it. Sounds like a movie, doesn't it? Then out of nowhere, a rescue boat appears. Someone sees you. They call out your name. And they're going up towards you, and you're there, and you're trying, and all of a sudden, a lifeline is thrown out to you with one of those little round buoy. Thank you. I didn't know what that word was. Do you grab a hold of it? Do you grab a hold of it? Would you ignore the rope? No, you would not ignore the rope. Would you go, you know, nah, I think I'm going to do this on my own. I got this. I know what's best. No, you would not. That's absurd, right? You would reach out and grab a hold of that rope with everything that you had left in you because it's your only hope of survival, right? That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus is. He's the lifeline, right? He's the lifeline thrown to the world that is drowning in sin. It's drowning in fear and brokenness. And here's the good news. You ready? It's worth your price of admission. Here's the good news. He's not asking you to fix yourself. He's not saying you got to get yourself together before you can come to me. You've got to, he's not sitting there waiting for you to say, get your act together. He's not saying that. He's simply saying, grab a hold of the lifeline. Grab a hold of me. Trust me. And let me rescue you. Because the real question isn't, are you good enough? Because the answer to that is no. We're not good enough. There's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. There's nothing we can do to pay for salvation. It's a free gift. The question isn't, are you good enough? The question is, will you take hold of the one who came to save you? This is an invitation. Easter Sunday is an invitation. This is a moment. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? I'm going to wrap up this morning because I know people's got family and you got hams in the oven and all the things. And I am not going to be the one that is responsible for your ham burning. But here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. Bow your hearts with me. Easter is not just a holiday. It is an invitation. It's an invitation to stop trying to fix your life on your own. It's an invitation to trust the one who has already paid the price that we could never pay. And the Bible, the Word of God, lays it out plainly. In Romans 3:23, it tells us that everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. What that means is we've all missed the mark. No one is perfect. Not one. Not one. And like the scripture I used earlier, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I love this next verse. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we're still sinners. He didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. Jesus died for us while we were in our mess, while we're still in our mess, in our brokenness, and in our sin. So the question this morning is simple. Will you trust him today? Will you grab a hold of a lifeline that he is throwing your way? He's not asking for perfection. He's asking for your heart. This isn't about religion. And I'm very grateful for that, because religion is dead. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a relationship. Jesus didn't come just to be admired. He came to rescue. He came to save us from our sin, from ourselves, and from all brokenness. So how does this begin? How do we begin this relationship if you've never made that step? It starts with a simple step of faith. And we admit that we have sinned and we need a Savior. We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead. And then we simply confess Him as Lord, surrendering our life to Him, trusting Him to lead you from this day forward. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's simple. And that's a promise, right? That's a promise. And that promise is for you. Right here, right now, for you. When our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm not going to do anything to embarrass anybody. But if you're ready to take that step, you can just talk to Him in your own words. We give you, Romans 10:9 gives it perfectly, right? Or you can pray something like this. Jesus, I know I've sinned, and I need you. I believe you died for me and rose again. And I confess that you are Lord, and today I choose to follow you. Thank you for loving me, for forgiving me, and giving me a new life. I give you my heart today. In your name I pray, amen. That's that simple. You've confessed with your mouth, you believe in your heart. You're saved. And I love the fact that God made it so simple, because I personally need simple. What will you do today? Will you trust Him today? For some of us, we've made that decision long ago, but we've been going down these paths that has led us to places that God never intended us to be. I had a mentor in my life years ago tell me this, that sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go, keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay, and cost you more than you were ever willing to pay. Sometimes we get caught up in life and we've taken our eyes off of Jesus, our lifeline. Maybe you just need to reconnect with Him today and recommit. Today we celebrate a risen Savior. We celebrate what Jesus did on the cross. And without the resurrection, it meant nothing. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Stand with me if you would. We're going to sing a closing song here, but I just want to close this out in a prayer, if that's okay. So you just bow your hearts with me. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll sing a song, a celebration, I think. I don't know where we're singing. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts full of awe and gratitude. God, you are holy. You are mighty, and you are worthy of all our praise. From the very beginning, you had a plan to rescue us. You are the God who spoke the universe into existence, but yet you see us. You love us. made a way for us through Jesus. There is no one like you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And we exalt you today. We celebrate you today. You took our place. You bore our sin and conquered the grave so that we can have life. What an incredible Savior you are. Death could not hold you. The grave could not keep you. And today we stand victorious because you are alive. Lord, for those who are searching and questioning or feeling distant from you, I ask that you would reveal yourself to them in a powerful way. Let them see that you don't have to clean, we don't have to clean ourselves up before coming to you. That we can fully trust in the finished work of the cross. Today, we celebrate and we surrender our hearts to you. Strengthen us to live in the power of your resurrection, to walk in your grace, and to share this good news with the world. You alone are our hope, our joy, and our salvation. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all our praise. In the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's sing together.